All right, we do the greatest game, one greatest game in Giants franchise history, and Gelati Construction was nice enough to put that together for us, and Tiffany Sutton, we thank her for helping, and of course, Dick Gelati. So this will be our last one of the regular season, and Raf does a great job of piecing this together and getting some audio. But we pick out what I think are some of the greatest games in the franchise history, and here we are for today.
Baseball is full of 100-year-old traditions. Just like baseball, Gelati Construction is full of 100-year-old traditions, too. Ones the company still lives by and practices today. Now it's time for the greatest games in Giants history, brought to you by Gelati Construction Company.
Hi, Marty Lurie here with Chris Haft as we look at another great game in Giants history. Chris, we're going to go back to 1962 in this one. It's October 1st through the 3rd of 1962, and it's a playoff between the Giants and the Dodgers. Now, let me set the stage for you, Chris. Giants and Dodgers have a great race going down the stretch. It looks like the Dodgers are going to win the pennant in the National League in 1962, but down the stretch, the Giants go 4-2, the Dodgers end up 1-5, and the two teams end up in a tie. Now, just to take it a little bit further, the last weekend of the series, the Houston Colt 45s are at Candlestick Park, and it goes down to the last game. Willie Mays wins the last game for the Giants, hitting home run number 47 on the year off Turk Farrell to give the Giants the win. Meanwhile, down in Los Angeles, the St. Louis Cardinals have beaten the Dodgers three games straight, 3-2. Ernie Broglio shut them out 2-0, and Curt Simmons beats them 1-0 on Sunday on a home run by Gene Oliver. So the two teams tie at 101-61 in one of the great weekends of Giants franchise history.
That's right, Marty. It was a thrill. The Giants and Dodgers have pretty much battled it out all year. And one facet of that season was they had never won in Los Angeles. I think they had a 10-game losing streak, and then finally won a game at Dodger Stadium. There was one little breakthrough there, which was probably something important for them to a hurdle to overcome, so to speak, entering that playoff.
All right, it's 1962. It's October 1st. Now, the teams have a coin flip, and it's going to be a three-game playoff. It's the last three-game playoff that the National League will ever have, because division play comes into play in 1969. All right, the Dodgers win the coin flip, and the Giants get the first game at home at Candlestick, and Billy Pierce beats Koufax 8-0.
Billy Pierce, Marty, had been the Giants' good luck charm, maybe even more than that, all season. 12-0 at Candlestick Park, he finished. One of their most outstanding pickups ever. Got him from the Chicago White Sox, where he had spent his career in the American League. He was a very underrated pitcher, because he regularly could beat the Yankees, which, of course, was the most dominant team in baseball in that era. And he showed what kind of pitcher he was by adjusting in less than a season of Candlestick and its conditions. It was a pretty pitcher-friendly place, but he knew really how to make it work for him.
Billy Pierce, one of the great left-handers in the American League, was an original Detroit Tiger before he came over to the White Sox, then, of course, came to the Giants in this season. Billy Pierce came close to a perfect game, Chris. 8 2/3. Ed Fitzgerald, a light-hitting catcher, blooped one down the right field line that cost him a perfect game. But he got the first one for the Giants, 8-0. Now the scene shifts to Los Angeles. The Dodgers hadn't scored in 35 straight innings because of the Cardinals, and, of course, the Giants had shut him out in the first game. It's a back-and-forth game, and the Dodgers win Game 2, 8-7, to set up the climactic Game 3 of the playoffs for the National League pennant.
It was kind of ironic, Marty. Leo Durocher was the Dodgers' third base coach, who, of course, won the 1951 playoff with the New York Giants. Leo was talking to the media before that Game 3, and he showed off all these lucky things he was wearing, his T-shirt from that day, his game undershorts, stuff like that, that he had worn on October 3rd, 1951, when the Giants beat the Dodgers in the playoffs. So then the reporters go to Alvin Dark, the Giants manager, and ask him, well, Alvin, do you have any good luck charms from that day in 1951? And Alvin said, yeah, Willie Mays.
Great story, and it's true. Leo DeRocher, one of the most superstitious guys ever. They used to play tricks on him. All right, it's the climactic game, number 165. It's at Dodger Stadium, and the pitching matchup, it's Juan Marichal against Johnny Podras, who, of course, was the hero for the Dodgers in 1955. This is a game that's 45,693 people, Chris, and it gets underway with the Giants getting a couple of runs in the third inning to go up 2-0. Jose Pagan, base hit. Marichal sacrifice, and the pitcher throws the ball away. Harvey Keene, a base hit. Chuck Hiller, a sacrifice fly. The Giants are up 2-0. Dodgers get a run in the fourth. Then in the bottom of the sixth, it's 2-1 Giants. Bottom half of the sixth inning, Duke Snider. And boy, this is a game when Duke Snider is in, Willie Mays is in, and you're thinking back to the old Brooklyn days, as you alluded to earlier. Gets a hit. And Tommy Davis hits home run number 27 on the season for him, because the stats count, because this is a play-in game, a postseason play-in game. The stats count because they tied. Davis gets homer number 27. Now Dodgers go up 3-2. All right, seventh inning. Marichal finally is out of there, but not before the Dodgers get another run, and it's a Dodger run of the 60s. Maury Wills, a base hit. Steals second. Steals third, and Ed Bailey throws it into left field, and coming in to score is Maury Wills, and the Dodgers now go up 4-2. Marichal is gone. Don Larson is coming in. Johnny Podras is gone after five. Ed Roebuck is in, and the game goes to the ninth inning.
Ed Roebuck was a very reliable reliever for the Dodgers. I believe he was working his third or fourth inning of that game, which was fine with Walter Alston, because as a sinker ball pitcher, Ed Roebuck probably was more effective the more he worked, the more tired he got, because it would make that sinker sink even more.
Well, here we are. It's the top of the ninth inning, and 45,000 think the Giants are done, just like in 1951, and the Dodgers are going to win the pennant. Not so fast, as they like to say. All right, Ed Roebuck on the mound. Matty Alou gets a base hit. Harvey Keene forces him at second. Willie McCovey pinch hits here and gets a walk, and Ernie Bowman comes in to run for big Willie McCovey. Philippe Alou draws a walk, and the bases are loaded, and who comes up at number 24? Willie May.
Willie did what Willie usually does in these situations, Marty. He came through, wrapped a single off Ed Roebuck's glove. A couple of accounts I read said if it hit almost any other place in his glove, it would have stuck in his glove for an out, and he would have been able to get all kinds of outs on the bases. But it went off Roebuck's glove, spun there on the grass, and the Giants accelerated that rally.
Giants now trail 4-3. Bases are still loaded, and the Dodgers bring in Stan Williams. Now, this was controversial, Chris, because Walter Alston could have gone with a couple of aces here, but he went to bring in a very fast, hard-throwing young pitcher, Stan Williams.
Some Dodger fans may still be talking about this. When you have a Sandy Koufax or a Don Drysdale to choose from, as opposed to a Stan Williams, it leaves the manager open to some second-guessing. Let's put it that way.
Well, Cepeda comes up and hits a sacrifice fly to tie the game up 4-4.
Now the windup for the pitch to Cepeda. A fly ball hit to deep right. Fairley's going back. He makes the catch. Here comes Bowman tagging. Here's the throw. It's going to be close, but Bowman scores, and it's all tied up.
Williams is really unglued. A wild pitch puts runners on second and third. Mays in second. Philippe Alou on third, and they intentionally walk the catcher, Ed Bailey, to get to Jim Davenport.
Jim Davenport, a Dodger killer, an underrated clutch player throughout his career. He came through again in this situation, Marty.
Well, the peanut, as they called him, he got a walk and put the Giants up 5-4, and the place was booing Stan Williams. He was gone. Peronoski came in. Jose Pagan, a ground ball to Larry Burrite, and they always said he was out of position. He kicked it. Another run came in, and the Giants take the lead 6-4. And a very good pinch hitter, a good hitter, Bob Niemann for the Giants, strikes out to end the inning. Now it's the bottom of the ninth, and Billy Pierce, of all people, comes in to save this thing for the Giants and to win the pennant.
Usually, Marty, there are such great dramatics right up to the very end in Giant-Dodger games. This one, there were no such dramatics. Billy Pierce pretty much had his way with the Dodger hitters he faced, and the rest is history.
Well, a line drive to Willie Mays ended it in center field. Mays turned around and threw the ball into the stands. I can still see him doing it.
Here's one. Here's the pitch. A line drive to center. This could be it. Mays waiting. He's got it. The Giants win the pennant. The Giants have won it as Mays. Pierce is mobbed by the Giants. They've won it 6-4 on a dramatic four-run rally in the ninth.
The Giants are going crazy down there.
And the Giants win the pennant, as Russ Hodges says. The Giants win the pennant in 1962. Chris, they went on to play the Yankees, and of course a tremendous World Series. The Yankees won in seven games, which we've done a show on that one already. But just to give you the lineups in this last game, Harvey Keene, Chuck Hiller, Philippe Alou, Willie Mays, Orlando Cepeda, Ed Bailey, Jim Davenport, Jose Pagan, and Juan Marichal. Maury Wills, Jim Gilliam, Duke Snyder, Tommy Davis, Wally Moon, Frank Howard, John Roseboro, Willie Davis, and Johnny Podras. The win goes to Mr. Perfect Game, Don Larson, who pitches the eighth. The save goes to Billy Pierce. Ed Roebuck takes the loss.
As they say, Marty, no jokers in that deck, or in those decks. Fine players for both sides. As we started out saying, one of the greatest games in Giants history, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Giants win the pennant in 1962, an amazing three-game playoff as they come back with four runs in the top of the ninth to win this thing 6-4. They were 3-for-14 with runners in scoring position. The Dodgers 1-for-10, so teams had chances in that game. But this one, as Chris says, really was one of the great ones in Giants franchise history. Marty Lurie, Chris Haft, we'll see you again next time with another great game in Giants franchise history.
Dating back to 1914, Gelati Construction started with a group of devoted employees working hard to build an enterprise. Over the last 100 years, the number of achievements and completed projects are too numerous to name, but several stand out as examples of the excellent teamwork, engineering expertise, quality of craftsmanship, and attention to detail that have become hallmarks of Gelati Construction Company. Gelati Construction Company, celebrating over 100 years of history and general engineering experience.